Good morning, Fairfield. I really appreciate Jay and John preaching for me over the past couple of weeks. And I hope you appreciate it just as much as I do. If you've been off the planet or really kind of out of touch, you may not know that we're in the middle of a series right now. And the series that we're in is called The Bible Doesn't Say That. Now, what we're doing is this. We're looking at some of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. Some of the verses in the Bible that are misrepresented, misunderstood, misinterpreted. In week one, we talked about Jesus' words where he said, "You can ask me for anything you want in my name, and I'll give it to you." Jay talked about confrontation and reconciliation a couple of weeks ago and did a really good job at that. And last week, John talked about Jesus' words, "Don't judge or you will be judged yourself." And today I'm really excited about talking about one of the most popular verses we can find in the Bible. And chances are many of you know exactly the verse that I'm talking about. Someone has maybe given you this verse in order to encourage you. And that's what happened to me some 26 years ago. You see, my wife back then made the decision with the support of her, well, some of her so-called friends, to live life without her husband, to live life without me. And so she decided to file for divorce. And I got to tell you what, I was utterly devastated. Our children were devastated. And to this very day, I can see the scars of divorce in my kids. Now, in the middle of all that turmoil, our worship pastor sent me a card with this particular scripture on it. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 29. Why don't you go ahead and click in your Bibles or turn to your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to be looking today specifically at verse 11. There, Jeremiah writes these words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And if you go on to read in verses 12, 13, and 14, you'll see that the word says that if you seek God with all of your heart, you will find him. And I'm telling you what, I really needed to hear those words from Jeremiah some 26 years ago. I really thought to myself, are these verses for me? Is this particular verse for me? Does God really have plans for a divorced pastor? Does he really have plans to prosper me and to bless me? You see, odds are good that some of you have a story about that verse. Maybe you've got a coffee mug with that verse on it. Maybe you've got a refrigerator magnet or a pillow or a picture on the wall with that verse on it. You see, that verse is comforting. That verse is soothing. It's encouraging. It's filled with hope. And what I want to do today is to show you that there's actually more to that verse than meets the eye. Now, what we're going to be doing is to get a deeper understanding of this verse by using three different Bible interpretation techniques. And really, in this series, not only do we want you to understand the Bible more, but in this series, we're trying to give you tools so that you yourself can dig into the Bible and understand it for yourself. And the first thing that I want you to understand today is the whole issue of context. Last week, John really hammered home the whole issue of context and did a good job at that. Question is, if you weren't here, what is context? You see, context, when it comes to that issue, we want to know who wrote that verse. To whom was it written? What came before that verse? What came after that verse? Why was that verse written to begin with? Now, the second technique is understanding the Bible. And to understand the Bible, you need to interpret Scripture with Scripture. And the very best commentary on the Bible? Well, the very best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. What else does the Bible have to say about that particular theme? What else does the Bible have to say about that particular subject, that big idea? And then third, what we want to do is apply it to our lives. The Bible isn't just a book to be understood. The Bible isn't a book just to be studied. You see, the Bible is a book not only to be understood, but to be lived out in everyday life. Now, Jeremiah 29:11, it says there that God has plans to prosper you. You see, what about the context of that verse? All you have to do is to go several verses before Jeremiah 29:11, go up to the very beginning of chapter 29, verse 1, and it actually gives us a ton of context. Who wrote this letter? In fact, let me ask you this. Who wrote the book of Jeremiah? Yeah, that's right. Jeremiah, you win. You got the right answer. You see, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1 tells us plainly that Jeremiah wrote it and also that he sent the letter from Jerusalem. Now, question is this, to whom was the letter written? If you read there in 29:1, you'll find out that the letter is written to the surviving elders and the priests and the prophets and all the people King Nebuchadnezzar had captured from Jerusalem and took them to Babylon. And now you may be asking the question, well, why in the world were they taken to Babylon? Well, they were taken to Babylon because they had disobeyed God. They turned their backs on God. They had turned to false gods and to idols. And God basically said to Israel, because of your sinfulness, because of your rebellion, for the next 70 years, you are going to be under the control of the Babylonians. For the next 70 years, you are going to be in exile from your home country. Now, when we read through the Bible, we need to understand that there are two different kinds of promises. There are specific promises made in the Bible, and there are general promises that are made in the Bible. Now, when you talk about the specific promises in the Bible, those promises that are specific are made for a specific person or made for a specific group of people. And then there are general promises made in the Bible, and those general promises are for everyone. The general promises are for everyone. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but Jeremiah 29, 11 is a specific promise made to a specific group of people. That specific promise in 29, 11 was made to the Jewish exiles. And we need to understand that this promise is not specifically for us. This promise is specifically for a nation. And here's where we run into problems with this verse. Plans to prosper you. When we read that verse, when we read those words, we think that the word you means us. And why do we think that? We think that because you see, we want to be the main character of everything that happens in the Bible, and that's the problem. In fact, this morning, let me teach you a couple of seminary words, a couple of kind of important words that you need to know about, but here are those two words that I want to teach you this morning. The first word is exegesis. The second word is eisegesis. Now, you notice that those two words have some similar sounds to them. Both of those words end in Jesus, right? But it's not the Jesus you're thinking of. It's not J-E-S-U-S. It's actually G-E-S-I-S. It's not the same Jesus. Now, what's exegesis mean? Well, if you look at the word exegesis, the word, or I should say the letters, E-X, those letters E-X mean to pull out of. Our goal in exegesis is to pull the truth out of the biblical text, to pull the truth out of the verse or verses. Now, when it comes to eisegesis, it means to see the text in the way that we want to see the text, or to read ourselves into the text. And if you do eisegesis, it doesn't mean that you don't love Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're a non-Christian. It doesn't mean that you're a heretic. It just means that you're doing what all of us have done at one time or another when it comes to reading through the Bible. You see, you read the Bible through your own filter, and you're seeing yourself in the text. But here's the danger. Here's the danger specifically for this verse. If we believe that Jeremiah 29:11 is specifically made for us, God's going to bless us. He's going to prosper us. He's not going to allow any harm to come to us. What happens then if we believe those things? What happens when bad things happen to us? My kid gets sick. My wife goes ahead and files for divorce against me. I lose my job. I've got to file for bankruptcy. What happens then? You see, many human beings at that point will conclude that either God does not exist or he's not the good God that we always thought he was. You see, if we read ourselves into the whole Bible, we start to believe that God is some kind of a cosmic Coke machine. We come to God. We put our money in, we do what we're supposed to do, we push the button, and then God's got to deliver, right? He's got to deliver with what we want, right? You see, essentially what we're doing is reducing God to our personal valet. And God, our personal valet, he exists to serve us. But the reality is, you see, we exist to serve God. We exist not only to serve God, but we exist to glorify God. And we've got to be really, really careful not to read ourselves into a promise that's not really made for us. And aren't you glad you came today, right? Aren't you glad you came today? You're saying now, you know what? Yeah, I'm glad I came today, but now I've got to throw away my favorite coffee mug. Now I can't wear my favorite t-shirt. Now I've got to cut up the pillow that Nana made for me years and years ago. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, let's dig in a little bit more and let's find out a little bit more about this particular verse. Here's a question for you. Are you ready for this? It's a tough one, who wrote the book of Jeremiah. What comes before Jeremiah chapter 29? Yeah, that's right. Jeremiah 28. In Jeremiah chapter 28, there's this guy by the name of Hananiah. And Hananiah says that the exile, in fact, he's preaching this, he's teaching this. He says that the exile is only going to last 2 years. It's not going to last 70 years like Jeremiah is talking about. And if you read through Jeremiah chapter 28, you'll find out that in that chapter, it becomes nothing more than a showdown between Hananiah and Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, no, Hananiah, you're wrong. You're flat out wrong about this. It's not true. You see, this is fake news that you're preaching, that you're teaching. And Jeremiah went on to say to Hananiah, because of this fake news you're spreading all over the area, guess what? You're gonna die. And guess what happened? In the seventh month, the seventh month of that very year, guess what happened? The false prophet Hananiah died. You see, this whole story could really be a miniseries. This whole story could be a miniseries that could be shown on HBO just like the Game of Thrones. I mean, all of us love good news, don't we? We want to feel good, right? I want God to do everything for me that I want him to do. I mean, it's all about me, right? And what we do, we slip into eisegesis. It's all about me. It's all about a God who is there to serve me. It's not about me serving him at all. Last week, or I should say 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, I was listening to a preacher on satellite radio. He's from Houston, Texas. He's a very, very popular preacher. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was listening to him on satellite radio, and he was preaching that our God is a God of abundance. This year is your year of breakthrough. This year is your year of abundance. This can be your year of abundance and breakthrough in your life. And you know what? Seriously, I really do hope for some of our people in our church that this is a year of abundance. That this is a year of breakthrough. I really do hope that for a lot of people in our church because they need that. But here's a question for you. What if there isn't a breakthrough? What if there is no abundance? You see, people can end up thinking that God's not real, that God's not as good as what they once thought he was. Or how about this? We can reduce Christianity as a means to an end. God exists only to make my life easier. If we're simply pursuing a God who gives us joy without pain and blessing without trial, we're actually pursuing fake news. And that's dangerous. You see, that's why a lot of people will walk away from Christianity. God didn't do what they thought he ought to do for them. Oh, I tithed, but I didn't get rich. I was faithful to God. I went to church all the time, and my son still died from cancer. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 is a specific promise made to a specific group of people. It's not a general promise for everyone. Let me give you a general promise, in fact. A general promise that probably won't make you feel as good. Here's a general promise for you. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, Paul writes to Timothy, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Put that on a coffee mug, right? Put that on a t-shirt. Put that on in a frame and hang it on the wall. You see, here's what we've got to do. Here's what we've got to understand. The real good news isn't that God saves us from our trials. The real good news is actually that God saves us from our sins. That's the real good news. And so when God doesn't do exactly what we want him to do, we don't panic. We don't run away. We embrace God. We hold on to God tighter and tighter for his character and his nature and his goodness. The exiles in Jeremiah 29, they wanted life easy. I mean, just like what we want, right? We want life easy. And Hananiah, that false prophet, he said, guess what? The captivity, folks, is only going to last about 2 years. It's not going to last for 70 years. It's only going to last for about 2 years. God, get us out of bondage. God, we don't like this slavery. God, take us away from Babylon. We don't like it. But this is what Jeremiah said, though. This is what God said through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:10. He says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. How many years does the text say? 70. I mean, who was God talking to in this text? He was talking to a number of different groups of people. You know, specifically to the nation of Israel. And some of those people in that group, some of those people were the elders of the nation. God is saying, hey, listen, I'm going to come back. He's saying, I'm going to have plans for you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bless you. I'm not going to harm you. You've got a future. And the elders, they're probably saying, yes, that's what we want to hear. Yes, God, that's what we want to hear. And then suddenly they realize, well, wait a minute. It's not going to happen in our lifetime because we're the elders of the nation and we are elderly. We're not going to see that in our lifetime, Jeremiah. And basically, yeah, that's right. But God does have plans to prosper. God does have plans for them to prosper and to get blessed and to have a future. But that plan, those plans are not in this life. It's in the next life. It's in heaven. Plans for a hope. Plans for a future. You see, God had those plans for his family back then, and God has those plans for us today. A hope and a future and blessing and prospering, eternally speaking. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, no eye has seen, no ear has heard about the things that God has prepared for those who love him. As Americans, what do we say? Oh God, I want an easy life. Please bless me now, I pray, God. God, I want a fat bank account, a nice car. I want nice clothes. And so the next time someone comes up to you and maybe gives you a coffee mug with Jeremiah 29:11 on it, or maybe they send you a card with Jeremiah 29:11 on it, why don't you just give them a call? Why don't you just sit down and talk with them and say, hey, listen, let's back that truck up and let's talk because I've got some sermon notes from church. And let's talk about that verse. Let me switch gears on you this morning. Just because this text is not written to us specifically, does it mean that the big idea can't apply to us? And the answer is no, it doesn't mean that the big idea can't apply to us. You see, the big idea really does apply to us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. There Paul writes these words. All things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You see, does God have a purpose and a plan for your life? Yes, he does, all day long. Does God want to bless you? Yes, he does. See, he loves to give good gifts to his children. All you got to do is to interpret scripture by scripture to find that one out. I mean, you look at Matthew 7, you look at Luke chapter 11. Does God prosper people? Yes, he does. Just look through some of the people in the Bible. They are wealthy people, and wealth in and of itself is not bad. It's just what we do with wealth that is bad. I mean, you can do a lot of good things with wealth. Now, while God may prosper some, he does not prosper everyone. In fact, prospering in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean financial prospering. You see, blessing and prospering may be in the area of relationships, which is much better than money when you stop and think about it. It may be a blessing with your health. I mean, can you have hope? Can you have hope when you've got cancer? Yes, you can. You see, Jesus Christ is bigger than any cancer you've got. Jesus Christ is bigger than any terminal illness that you've got. Let's say that your life falls apart all around you. You say, God, I can never overcome this. God, I can never get away from this. God, you can never use me for the rest of my life. I'm here to tell you today, that's just flat out wrong thinking. You do have a future with God. You really do. I mean, God can use your sin in your life to make you a better person. Or maybe you've been sinned against. God can use those sins made against you to make you a better person. And not just you a better person, but God can use it for the good of other people as well. People here and now, and maybe even people in the future. You see, you're not finished. If you're not dead, you're not done. God can still work through you. Jeremiah 29:11 isn't written specifically for us. But there's still a lot of truth there that we can use. And here's something else. Don't stop at Jeremiah 29:11, because the big idea in verses 12 and 13 and 14, those big ideas apply to us as well. Those promises you find there are consistent with other verses throughout the Bible. And God says, beginning in verse 12 in chapter 29, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you. Now, when you couple those verses with other verses in the Bible, God is saying to you today, I'm going to be there for you no matter what. I'm going to be there with you no matter what. I'm going to be able to be with you, and I will hear you in the darkest of hours. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear any evil whatsoever. Why? Because he's with you. He's with you through the whole thing. And the main point of today is not that God delivers you from your trials. The main point of today isn't that God will give you exactly what you want when you want. You see, the main point of today is that God will never, ever leave you. That's the main point. You see, God's more concerned about your eternity than your here and now. You see, our faith does not rest on what God does for us or what God does not do for us. Our faith rests on what God's already done for us on the cross. It rests on what God's already done for us in the tomb. And so draw near to God. You see, as you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And the nearer you draw, the nearer he draws, the closer he comes to you. And that's something we try to do here every single week at Fairfield. We try to draw nearer to God. And one of the ways we try to draw nearer to God is through communion. And we're getting ready to go into communion right now after we've studied the Word. And we're getting ready to go into communion. And Condi Echelbarger, one of our elders, is going to lead us in a communion meditation. Condi?